Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome a very accomplished and a senior professional from the UK, Mr. Peter Waddup. Peter, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for that welcome.
Mr. Waddup is the Chief Executive Officer of the Leprosy Mission Great Britain. So, Peter, before we talk about the leprosy mission, tell me about your own journey and what inspired you to transition from volunteering to taking up a leadership role in the Leprosy Mission Great Britain.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, perhaps it would be good to tell you why I volunteered in the first place. I mean, I'd left school at 16 with no qualifications. That was through a family breakup, and the school wasn't, I'm moving to a new school within a couple of years of the end. And I felt like I had a lot to prove at that age, but it wasn't until about 10 years later that I took life seriously. And I then studied to qualify as an accountant and later did an MBA at Warwick University in the UK and got stuck into, you know, industry and commerce. But I found a faith, and that led me to really look at, you know, look for something deeper. So whilst I would, by that time, I was a managing director of a company responsible for over 200,000 staff, there was something missing in my life. And I recalled that I had come across in Mumbai, actually, come across a community of people affected by leprosy on the pavements when I was backpacking back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And I crossed the road to avoid that group of people. And I felt embarrassed that I'd done that. And it was only later when I recalled that and thought, well, I want to find out more about leprosy. So I did that. I became a volunteer. I joined the board of trustees as a volunteer. I was also speaking on their behalf, raising money. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, the doors just kept opening, much to my surprise. It wasn't that I was seeking paid employment with the Leprosy Mission. I volunteered for 9 years, but I joined the board. I then became the treasurer. Then I became the chair of the board of trustees. And then someone that actually I'd recruited as the CEO after 6 years decided it was time for them to move on. Mm-hmm. And they prompted me to think about whether I should put my name forward for this role, which I did. And I stepped back from the board and said, I'm just investigating this possibility. And sure enough, after three interviews, I was offered the role. And something that I'd become passionate about in giving my own time was then something that was a paid role for me. And, you know, I've never been more content with the work and the work that I'm doing. Yes.
Incredible. Well, thank you for everything that you're doing for leprosy. And I know you're doing a lot of work in my country as well.
Yes.
So, Peter, for a lot of our young viewers and listeners, can you explain what is leprosy and why does it still remain a significant health issue today?
Yes, absolutely. So it's one of the oldest diseases known to man, actually. Yeah. I mean, the earliest recorded case goes back 3,000 years, but who's to say that it didn't exist for a long time before that? Because records prior to that, you know, are not readily available. But it's a disease that attacks the nerves. So you lose the feeling in your hands and your feet. And that first sign is a white patch on your skin, and you've got a good idea that will be leprosy if you tickle it with a feather or scrape it with, you know, with a pin or something, and that, you know, ask the person to close their eyes and they can't feel it. Wow. You can then do a slit smear test to get that clinical diagnosis, and if you catch it at that point, it's not a problem. But of course, most people, it's not the disease that people fear. It's the stigmas, the discrimination that they face, not being able to get a job. So they hide those early signs and then they get anesthetic feet and hands where they lose the feeling. That means they could perhaps, you know, put their hands on a hot pot, boiling water, and not even feel that it's burning. Ulcers develop. And so you can see how a simple disease with a simple cure can become something that wrecks people's lives and just brings this discrimination crashing down upon them. It's very sad that it does still have such impact now that there's been a cure for such a long time.
Amazing. And you know, you just shared with us when you came to Mumbai for the first time and you've met some of the people. My question to you is, what are some common misconceptions about leprosy that you encounter in your work?
Yeah, well, I mean, they you get stories that hands and feet fall off. No, they don't. They withdraw. But that's only after, you know, you've had the disease for a long time and you've not come forward for the treatment. One of the misconceptions, and this is in India actually, as well as in the UK. There's no leprosy in the UK. Clearly, there's leprosy in India and in many countries across Asia and Africa. But even in India, we hear people say we don't know that leprosy still exists. We thought that was an old problem, which is quite a shock because there's 225,000 new cases a year, and more than half of those in India. So to not understand that that's still an issue, is quite a surprise. And people fear leprosy and think it's highly contagious as well. That's another one of the misconceptions. It's not highly contagious. You need to live really in areas of poverty for a long length of time before you would stand a chance of contracting leprosy. I have no fear if I go and if I'm in an outpatients department, as I have been in the last couple of weeks, where people are being newly diagnosed. I don't have any concern for my health because I have a strong immunity system. So people don't need to fear it as much as they think as much as they do.
Well said. And tell me a little bit about the mission and the primary objectives of the leprosy mission of Great Britain.
Yes. So we're part of an organization called the Leprosy Mission Global Fellowship. We work in 31 different countries. And in fact, there's more work in India than anywhere else. We've got the Leprosy Mission India Trust oversees work in 14 hospitals and 6 vocational training colleges. And the global vision is leprosy defeated, lives transformed. So leprosy defeated, you can translate that in different ways. One, you can cure the disease, but actually what you really want to achieve is to take away the awful effects that diagnosis will have on life. So being cast out of society, not being given a job, being divorced, a husband walking away on a wife and not allowing her back into the home simply because she's got a disease, even though it's curable. So when we say leprosy defeated, we want to defeat all possible implications on someone's lives, and that brings us into the lives transformed. We want to help people, train them up in a new career, and that's why we have in India, for instance, and I'm using India as an example because you know it well. We have six vocational training centres across the country where we bring in youngsters from families affected by leprosy. We train them up in tailoring, sewing. We're looking at all sorts of different occupations now. So that gives them dignity and gives them the ability to go back into their community to support their parents and to start a new life where previously the stain of leprosy, has affected them. This is not so much in India, but certainly in other countries. I've seen youngsters being refused entry into schools because of that disease. And, so you really have to overcome that. We really have to advocate at a high level to ensure that people affected by leprosy are given equal status to others.
Great response. Thank you. And Peter, what are some of the biggest challenges in the eradication of leprosy today?
Okay. I think the biggest challenge, and this is where we will be putting money into research, we've got a cure now. We've had a cure for 60, 70 years, but the number of new cases has plateaued over the last 20 years. It sits at about 220,000 new cases a year globally, and there's millions living with the disabilities as well. But the real problem with leprosy is it can lie dormant in the body for up to, we've seen cases of 25 years, but typically for 10 years, even before that first pale patch appears. The American Leprosy Mission are working on a vaccination. I'm not convinced that is the way forward. I think that the real game changer would be finding a diagnostic tool that you could use, particularly in those communities where leprosy is known to exist, where you could go into the community and you could test and find out whether that bacteria is lying dormant, ready to attack, when the body's immunity lowers. Just expanding on that point, I think it's worth saying that we have this moral dilemma, not just us, it's our colleagues in India, it's our colleagues in Nepal, Bangladesh, all over the world where we work. We've got millions of people living today with the effects of leprosy. They might be cured, but they're struggling with disabilities. Our hospitals are full of people with serious ulcers. Yet we know if we put money into research, then we may be able to find this diagnostic tool that will put an end to leprosy in the next 25 years. Mm. So you don't want to walk away from the needs of those millions of people, but you do want to stop 220,000 people a year for the next 100 years catching. So we have to really be really think carefully about where we, how we allocate those funds.
Very well said. And, you know, I was going to ask you about vaccines, but you answered that. You know, I served on the board of Gavi for 8 years in Geneva. And I was going to ask you, is there a vaccine? But you answered that. But therefore, my question is, what advancements in leprosy treatment and care have been most impactful in recent years?
Yeah, so there haven't been, you know, a lot of advances. And that's why we're seriously considering putting more money into research now. But one in particular that is having an impact is the discovery of a new treatment for ulcers. Now, if you go into a leprosy hospital, probably 70 to 80% of the beds will be with a person affected by leprosy that has maybe cut their foot, that's developed into a sore, an ulcer has developed, and they may be in that ward for 8 to 10 months. They can't put any weight on that ulcer, and it clogs up the wards. But we've recently, and it is the leprosy mission that found this new treatment where you take the white blood cells from the body, you spin it in a centrifugal force, and you separate the white blood cells, and then you put those white blood cells back on the wound, back on the ulcer, and that brings the treatment time down from 8 to 10 months to 3 to 4 weeks, which is huge. You can imagine how that is going to ease the burden in the hospitals to allow us to perhaps admit more patients that need reconstructive surgery, and in some cases, sadly, amputations and the physiotherapy that follows. But that really is going to open up, you know, going to mean that we can allocate a lot more of our money to the bigger needs in the leprosy world.
Well said. Thank you. And Peter, given your affinity for India, you've been there so many times, and you were just telling me you were there last week, a few days before you and I are speaking today. What are some of the unique challenges that we face in India to combat leprosy?
Yes. Okay. So I think some of the unique challenges, of course, India is so vast. It's such a huge country. And, you know, although there's more leprosy cases in India than anywhere else, but approximately 120,000 a year, they're spread out. And so finding and attracting people to focus on leprosy, particularly in our hospitals and the government hospitals, is really difficult because although it's a huge burden, it's not an attractive disease, if you like. That, you know, when doctors are training, they don't automatically think, I want to be a specialist in leprosy. And the specialists that we do have, and this is very relevant to the hospitals in India, are getting older. And it's difficult to attract youngsters into this area because of funding and because, you know, and this isn't a comment about India. This is a comment about every country. Governments don't necessarily allocate enough resource to raising awareness about the, you know, about the truth about leprosy and give serious attention in the training of health workers into, you know, how easy it is and how easy it would be to make a huge difference. So, yeah, but retaining leprosy expertise and bringing youngsters into the leprosy world, I think is probably the biggest challenge we face.
Well said. And, you know, you mentioned that if there is adequate funding that is available, solutions may be available. Do you have a sense of what kind of numbers you're talking about in terms of funding needs every year?
Well, we the Leprosy Mission Great Britain, we raised 10 million last year, and that's not enough. I think, as I said to you, we have this dilemma about whether we look after the millions of people now that are living with the disabilities and trying to reach the 200,000 a year that haven't been diagnosed. And by the way, during the pandemic, the number of people diagnosed would drop significantly, and we've not found those missing cases. Or alternatively, do we invest in research? And the truth is, most of the money that we raise at the moment goes to finding those individuals and bringing a quality of life into their lives that they wouldn't have. But we have managed to protect some of our funding to develop expertise in research. One of those is in the Shahdra Hospital in Delhi. One is in the Anandaman Hospital in Nepal. And we also have some very effective field projects in Bangladesh. So we're now looking for new money. And we are talking serious amounts of money, you know, millions, £2, £3, £4 million, to really invest over the next few years into the research that we believe is possible. And we believe that, you know, with the right money, we could find that diagnostic tool which will bring an end to leprosy. So we're looking, you know, we're looking at government funding. Unfortunately, the UK government, and I'm embarrassed to say this, reduced their contribution to overseas aid, so that tap is closed at the moment. But there are other areas that we can seek funding, and we're doing that, and we're hoping, you know, hoping and praying that we will get the right funds.
I sincerely hope your voice through my podcast reaches the powers that be in my country, and you are able to get sufficient funding for leprosy, you know, at least in my own country. But yes. Another question, Peter, I have is, how important is global awareness and education in the fight against leprosy?
It's huge. So the United Nations actually, for the first time ever 6 years ago, appointed a special rapporteur specifically for the discrimination against people affected by leprosy. So they recognized that this was a global problem, and they needed someone to represent the United Nations to try and prompt governments to get serious about this issue, based on the fact that, you know, if everyone was pulling in the right direction, we could end this disease. And so one of our, you know, main areas is advocacy. It is education at grassroots levels, at government level. We have a team, you know, that a cross-cutting global team that come together every year to try and work out how they can reach out to the voices that you know, that will really make a difference. So even, you know, even this, thank you for this opportunity. As you've said, you know, there is a burden of leprosy in India. And if there's someone listening to this conversation today that perhaps works in the government, perhaps has, you know, the medical, bit of medical expertise, they can pick up on the need, then that would be fantastic. So advocacy, education, absolutely vital. Even at, as I say, grassroots levels, our teams on the ground will go into schools and tell children about the early signs. If you get this, come and see us. It won't be a problem. If you ignore it, that's when it becomes a problem.
Well said. You also are doing a lot of work in a hospital in Muzaffarpur.
Yes.
I'd love to get a perspective from you on what are your current fundraising goals for the new outpatients department at the Muzaffarpur Hospital, and how will it impact the community?
Yes. So we are, I was at Muzaffarpur back in November. It was great to see the teams there. Now, one of the things that inspires me, I just like to say this first, is the sacrificial work of the staff. You know, I see nurses, and, you know, this is quite graphic and not a nice picture, but someone may turn up at the hospital with, you know, a gangrenous ulcer and sometimes, you know, maggots. Yeah, in the foot, they have to dig out those maggots, and it's incredible work. And they do that, you know, despite not earning great money. So we feel it's really important to support the staff in the hospitals. And Muzaffarpur has not had an investment for a long, long time. The whole of the grounds flood at the time of the monsoon. That includes the staff quarters. So you've got these nurses doing this incredible work through the day and then going back to flooded staff accommodation. So it's not just the outpatients department. We want to improve conditions for the staff too. But the operating theatres are not fit for purpose. And you're probably aware that there will be an inspection every few years. And if they don't get the certificate, then they won't be allowed to carry out surgical procedures. So we recognised in our discussions with with the leprosy mission in India, that it was really important to invest in Muzaffarpur to build a new outpatients department. 200 to 300 people a day turn up at that outpatients department, desperate for treatment, and the staff will work to whatever time it takes to see them, but they can only do so much given the state of the crumbling building, given, you know, the operating theatres are not fit for purpose, given that the consulting rooms, you know, there's no privacy. So we're looking to raise, actually, it's £1 million, and it's not just the outpatients department now. It's pretty much half of the hospital will be rebuilt with new staff quarters if we raise enough money, which we think is a really important part of the work. We don't want to see those doctors and nurses who give so much every day. We don't want to see them seeing a lovely new hospital and then having to return to substandard, you know, accommodation.
Yeah.
So, you know, people from all over Bihar rely on that facility. And if we don't repair it, if we don't invest that money, then it won't be there for them in a couple of years' time. So we're really excited to partner with our team in India to make a difference there. It's very exciting. And I, you know, having visited there, I just know how important that work is.
Well said. And Peter, are there any specific pockets of leprosy in India, or is it spread evenly across the whole country?
No, it's not. It's not spread evenly. There are definitely pockets. So West Bengal, there's a big issue, and Bihar. So you'll find the more rural areas, the poorer areas, is where you're going to find leprosy. It's definitely connected to lack of effective sanitation. I mean, bear in mind that leprosy existed across the whole of Western Europe until about the start of the 18th century, when sanitation was improved, and we know that sadly in some parts of the world, particularly around leprosy colonies, the conditions that people live in aren't good. So wherever you find that real poverty, you'll find leprosy. And in fact, a recent study that we've carried out in Orissa has uncovered a high number of cases of undiagnosed leprosy. So we don't actually work in Orissa, but it has prompted us to think about, if we can attract more funding, perhaps we should. So there's a kind of band of states across, running down the east coast where you find a lot of them.
Wow. We'll have time for two more questions for you.
Yes.
My next question is, how do you maintain hope and motivation in the face of the challenges and setbacks that come with fighting a disease like leprosy?
Okay. Yeah. So this disease is on my heart, and it will be forever. So one day I will have to retire from this job. I'll get to an age where they'll say, you're no use to us now. You're too old. Maybe that will be my decision. Maybe I will recognize that time.
Hmm.
But the passion I have for overcoming, the devastation in the lives of the people I meet will never go. And I do have a particular heart for India. There is something about India that I have connected with. I think it's a very special country, and the people I meet are very special. Now, last week I was down in Vishakhapatnam, and I was at a community project where people with leprosy and also with lymphatic filariasis it was a self-care group. Now, people coming with ulcers, and I was asked if I would help to dress this lady's ulcer. And I'd never done that before. This is what the nurses do. And I thought, goodness, this is going to be a difficult thing to do. But the moment I put my hand on this lady's foot and started dabbing ointment within her foot on the ulcer, I just felt a really special connection with her. I just felt it was a privilege, actually, to be connected to this lady. And she smiled at me, and I thought, thank goodness there are people, across the world that are willing to reach out and give help to, some of the most vulnerable people in the world. And that for me has become, it started with my head thinking I want to do something different, but it's moved to my heart. And so that's what sustains me. It's meeting people. Last, also in Karagiri near Vellore, I was sitting in the wards, being able to put my hands, arms around patients, listen to their stories, and it breaks my heart. And that is not going to be fixed. My heart is not going to be fixed until the leprosy is no more. So that drives me on, spurs me on to make a difference. And I see it as an absolute privilege, to be honest.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Thank you, Peter, for what you're doing. And my last question to you, Peter, how do you envision the future of leprosy and the role of the leprosy mission in the global effort to eliminate this disease?
Yes. Okay. Well, of course, what I would like most of all is for me not to have a job, because we've ended this disease.
Yeah. Hmm.
But the leprosy mission cannot do that alone. We have to do it in partnership with other organizations, and most importantly, at government level. We have to work, share our expertise, advocate to governments to take leprosy seriously. Because I think if at government level it was taken seriously, I think we really would be able to see the end of this disease. One of the oldest diseases known to man, one of the cleverest diseases that hides deep within the nerves. So I think we know that we can't do this alone. So we're constantly seeking partners that will work with us, people that will help to fund our work, but most of all, for governments to really get on board and complement what we do.
Well said. Peter, on that note, I just want to say thank you for this absolutely incredible conversation that I've had with you on leprosy. I thought I was reasonably aware about the health space in the world, but I too believed incorrectly that leprosy had almost been eradicated in the world. And Clearly, that's not the case. Thank you for talking to me at such length about different challenges and different opportunities to be able to treat and cure leprosy. Thank you for all the work that you're doing in India. And I'm sure I will do whatever little I can to be able to reach out to my network of friends to see if we can get some funding for the work that you're doing in Muzaffarpur. I think it's amazing how much credit you have given to the nurses and the staff in these hospitals. Thank you again for telling us so much about leprosy again. Thank you again and good luck.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.